What is up, family? Welcome to Speak. Today will be a light, fun, smile-filled show. Is that not right, Super Bowl champ James Jones?
That's what it's going to be, man. We're going to be smiling, having some fun.
Right, James? Smile, bro. You can't be looking at me.
This is what I do want you to do, though. When you break me down, no more all-pro, no more all-decade. Culturally shady. Put me down as that.
Well, to my left is the brilliant Dr. Joy Taylor. There is no doubt about that. And to my right is the...
Say it.
Culturally shady.
Holla at your boy. That's me.
Did he have it up, though?
He did. In case there was any doubt. Okay, can we start with the huge NFL news? Stephon Diggs, superstar wide receiver, is on the move. Y'all better get ready to laugh today, family. Stephon Diggs on the move for a 2025 second round pick from the Houston Texans. Now, keep in mind, Diggs played the last four seasons in Buffalo and had some phenomenal seasons. He was a Pro Bowler every one of those years. He was an all-pro player for a couple of those years. He is a top five wide receiver in football when he is at his peak, and he has been at his peak for the greater half of the last half decade. Shady McCoy, you played with the Bills. You played with Josh Allen. You played with McDermott, the head coach. You did not play with Diggs, but you know him and that family well. Was it smart, after all of the chaos, to move on from Stephon Diggs?
I hate this. I really do. I hate when really great duos break up, right? When Shaq and Kobe broke up, I hated it. I can go on for hours about breakups. But to answer your question, I want to say no, right? I think they shouldn't have split ways. But then again, I don't know how Josh Allen and the Bills may think about this. I had a chance to see Trayvon Diggs, his brother, Stephon Diggs' brother. And he told me, he said, yo, my brother going to Houston. I said, ain't no way they going to make that happen. You think they'll let him go to Houston? And it happened. So I'll just say this, man. For Stephon Diggs, he's coming from Minnesota. And I guess people knew he was good. I didn't know how good he really was. He got the Buffalo and he was lights out. I'm like, whoa, they can't get rid of this guy. And then Josh Allen. I played with Josh Allen. He was a hell of a player, but he wasn't on this level. And I feel like they're the best matchups. When you put Stephon with Josh, they win games, right? They get to the playoffs. They put stats up. Josh numbers elevated. So has Stephon Diggs elevated as far as number-wise. So when I think about it, like, I love the matchup they have together. And then I want to say this. Houston is going to get a dog, right? But when you look at the Bills, what they got? Because Gabe Davis is out the door, mm-hmm. right? Stephon, who's top five, top three, whoever you ask, he's out the door. So now you got Curtis Samuels. He's still there.
Who else they got? Tight ends, Knox and Kincaid.
Come on, what are we talking about? So as we look at the Bills, we look at them as a good team because of the players they have. Look at the defense for the Bills. A lot of them left, right? Your best corner, Tre'Davious White, he's gone. Oh, both of your safeties is gone. You got Hyde and you got Poirier. Who you got? Milano's coming off a knee injury. And Von Miller, I mean, he's a great player. Well, he was a great player, and he's still. So when I look at this team, it's like, yo, we look at them as the top, one of the top teams in AFC. We look at them as one of the top teams in AFC East. Now we look at them as like a good quarterback and a good coach, and we don't know. So I hate this move for Stephon, and I hate it for the Bills and Josh Allen. I think Stephon will do well with C.J. Stroud. Oh, my God, in the Texans. And they are a big team to watch out for.
Shady, I don't like the move, but I do think it was a smart one. I think it was real smart.
You do?
Well, Shady, you of all people on this desk may be the most proficient business person, right? You done bought houses, you done sold houses, you just opened up
in the hood, and
no doubt about it.
I do both culturally safe.
Come on. You've done it all. So, Shady, more than anything, you know business. It was smart to move on from Stephon Diggs because you always have to sell high. Buy low, sell high. Okay. The Bills, they bought incredibly high with Stephon Diggs. Y'all know they're paying him a premium, but then they traded him for a second round pick? That's great math. Remember, Randy Moss at age 30 got a fourth-round pick. Stephon Diggs got a second. The Buffalo Bills know better than anybody if Stephon Diggs is over the hill, if his talent is deteriorating. The Bills know that. So if you are able to fleece the Texans for a second-round pick in the most wide receiver-heavy draft we have seen in a mighty long time, this is the time to do it. It's about six or seven first-round grade talents at the wide receiver position in this draft. So if you can move on from a $28 million a year caliber receiver in Stephon Diggs and get yourself a $2 million a year receiver, or maybe a $2 million in totality of his contract receiver in a second round, that's what you have to do. Incredibly good timing by the Bills. If you were going to move on, sell high because you already bought high, Joy.
Things fall apart.
Yes, they do.
Nothing quick. Lasts forever.
Hurry.
There's been a lot of smoke around this couple.
Yes, there we go.
For a couple of years.
A lot of
smoke. Maybe they just needed to extinguish it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how much I lean into these rumors. Generally, when I think that there's like rifts in the locker room, usually it comes after a loss. So it's like, all right, people tend to be upset after you don't accomplish your goals. But we've had these conversations about these two for a couple years now, so it doesn't seem that shocking that they eventually broke up. The sad part about it is, man, what they were together. Josh Allen, no All-Pros, no Pro Bowls, no MVP votes before Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs, no All-Pros, no Pro Bowls before Josh Allen. We can go down all of the numbers, all up in every category for the two of them when they're together. And that's really not that surprising. These are two great players paired up. But the relationship has to be there, too.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have insight into what went on in the locker room. I don't know what goes on with the two of them. They could be great friends, and this could be all BS. But there was a lot of smoke around it. There were a lot of conversations around it. It seems like there was at least something happening here. Maybe it was just that they weren't accomplishing what they set out to do. Mm-hmm. That could be as simple as that. But I don't love to say that it was a smart move because Stephon Diggs is such a good player and because they were so good together. Do I think that Josh Allen will still be a great player? Yes. Yeah. Do I think Stephon Diggs still has a lot left in the tank? Yes. Obviously, Houston does. It's just, it's going to be sad to not watch them together. They were fun to watch. They had a lot of success. They put up big numbers. They were box office when they were together, and they were flying high. It's too soon to say if this was a smart move, but again, players don't very rarely spend their entire careers, especially at this position, with one team. He's already not been with one team. So it's not that surprising to me. It's just too soon to tell if it will be a smart move or not.
Yeah, I'm definitely not surprised. It had to happen. When you just talk about everything that, you know, happened off the field, you talk about, you know, kind of the rocky relationship, especially these last couple years that they've had. We've seen Stephon Diggs throwing his hands up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Most of the time, Josh Allen turns the football over. He's trying to force the ball to Stephon Diggs, which he should. He is a great player. But I always tell people all the time, once they figure out they can win without you, you are going to get traded if you're that type player. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, over the last 8 to 10 games of the football season, when Josh Allen was playing at a high level, they were in a lot of two tight end sets. They were running the football extremely well, and Josh Allen was play-action passing. Stephon Diggs did not have a 100-yard game. He had one touchdown within that 8-game span. They found out we can win without him, and our quarterback still can play at a high level. On top of the pouting, on top of the relationship with Josh Allen that we've seen. Like Joy said, I truly believe we probably see these dudes on vacation, chilling and all that type of stuff. I believe they have that type of relationship. Mm-hmm. But what we've seen with our two eyes on the football field, the relationship was going down. And Josh Allen was still playing at a high level when Stephon Diggs was not balling. And that's why I truly believe they dealt him. And I think Josh is going to have a really good season. And I think Diggs is going to have a really good season.
Here's why I think it was smart, though. Because, Joy, if James is accurate in saying it had to happen, if it had to happen, if you can get a second-round pick for a third 30-year-old receiver, brilliant. I mean, again, a 30-year-old receiver is usually viewed as over the hump. So if it did have to happen, and I agree, James, at the point in which we saw all that drama on the field, we all have seen locker rooms, been in locker rooms. We already know what time it is. But, Shady, you have a lot to say.
Yeah, real quick. So I'm trying to just put this together, what y'all trying to say. So y'all think the Bills are in a better spot now that Stephon's not there?
Nope.
I think Josh is.
Ooh. How?
I'll break it down for you.
Please, break it down for me, please. Teach me something.
I've played with a lot of good receivers.
Yes, you have.
A lot of talented receivers, mm-hmm. Pro Bowl dudes, all pros, all that, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a guy like Stephon Diggs in there and you see the body language, you see the pouting, you see in the huddle, I'm open, get me the ball. A quarterback is wired to where I want to make everybody happy, especially my star receiver. You start forcing the football to him, trying to make him happy. It's not the right throw. It's not the right read, but I have to get the ball to Stephon Diggs. As a play caller, man, Stephon Diggs ain't being involved. I see his body language. I see this. He's talking to Josh. He's doing that. Let's try to call some plays to get him involved. As a quarterback, that's why, and we'll get into the C.J. Stroud thing, that's why I'm not super, super excited about him going with C.J. Stroud, too, because C.J. Stroud didn't have that last year. He went through his reads. I'm going to go where I want to go with the ball. So for me,
right,
Josh Allen doesn't have that anymore. And that's why over these last 10 games, this 10-game span, Josh Allen was in these MVP votings, playing at a high level, and Stephon Diggs wasn't balling.
I'll say this real quick. You're a wide receiver, but, I mean, you know this. Any number one receiver, they want the ball. And they don't get the ball, how they act. I don't know no number one receiver that don't act like they don't want the rock. Now, man, some might do it like Diggs and all that, and some might be quiet about it. I ain't even talking. Mm-hmm. everybody's different, right? So you know your wide receiver, but we don't act like every number one receiver in the league don't act like that if they don't get the ball. That's one part. Two parts is Josh Allen ain't no rookie. He ain't no guy that just trying to do this. He a dude like Stephon's a dude. I don't gotta force you the ball. I'm that dude. I'm him. So when you say that, it sounds like a young wide receiver or a young quarterback trying to find himself. No. He ain't C.J. Stroud. So if you don't want the ball, look, I'm trying to get you the ball. If you're not open, I'm not throwing it. Or I'm not forcing. I think in Josh's nature, before Stephon came, he forced the ball. I played with him, right? It ain't just a number one receiver. He always forced. That's what he is. There's times where the dudes is, I mean, he forced the ball in general. I ain't going to get into Josh. I'll just say this. I truly think, and I don't know, I'm not in the locker room, right, where you know, because Josh is easy to get along with, mm-hmm. right? And I think that sometimes maybe if Stephon was showing him up with this and that, and you never know how that may make Josh feel. So then when Josh probably, how he speaks to the, because they didn't make this move without talking to Josh.
No question. No.
Right? So it probably was something there. I just hate this part of the game where when you're such a good player, you think you could do it with anybody, right? If it's Josh or Stephon, whoever it may be. I'm putting myself in the shoes because I've been there where when I left Philadelphia, I was like, man, I'm Shady McCoy. Like, it ain't gonna matter where I go. I'm gonna get busy. Until I left Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Michael Vick,
And that O-line.
Right? And then I go to Buffalo. And I had a great time in Buffalo, but it was a lot harder. Mm-hmm. Right? And now I don't have them guys. I had good teammates. Yeah. They weren't super talented. So I had to do way more. Yeah. Right? I just feel like if you look at Josh, the way he played when he got Stephon, mm-hmm. he went way up here. You look at Stephon when he got Josh, he went way up here. Yeah. When they break up, I just hate to see it. But
so
we'll see.
Really quick, because I played with a really good one in Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. right, who was a veteran. But the way quarterbacks are wired, right? And I was blessed to play with a really good group that wasn't selfish like this. Greg Jennings wasn't no diva. Jordy Nelson wasn't no diva. Randall Cobb wasn't no diva. I wasn't no diva. We wasn't whining and pouting over the football. Right. We had a really good group, right? Jordy balled. I felt like, cool, that's my brother. I balled. Greg balled, same way, right? So we didn't have no diva. But Aaron Rodgers, the way he was wired, if we would go into a game and the game presented itself, Jordy going to have a lot of targets this game. That's the way the game presented. Uh-huh. They rolling over here. Jordy going to eat. Greg going to eat. He would come to me and be like, JJ, I apologize, bro. I'm going to spin it to you next game. I'm like, bro, go through your stuff. Like, if it's meant for me to get this. But that's the way quarterbacks are.
He might have liked you.
And when you a big-time number one receiver, whether we like it or not, Josh Allen is going to try to make you happy to force you this ball. I'm hoping C.J. Stroud ain't like that, and he take a step back.
Joy, do you think the Bills are better off? Could it be an addition by subtraction situation?
Don't it sound crazy hearing it, though, Joy, the way you said it? Like, it sound crazy.
It's just, it's too soon to tell. It's hard because these moves happen all the time, right? And we see them work out. We see them not work out. But we know what Josh Allen is with Diggs. We know what Diggs is with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is talented enough to still have success without Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. I think Stephon Diggs is talented enough to have success outside of Josh Allen.
Yep.
Will mm-hmm. they ever be as good statistically as they were? I don't know. We'll see. I think Josh Allen has more time on his side just because of the nature of the position that he plays and he's younger and all that. Like, I think he has more time on his side. So that narrative may spin it forward in his direction positively. But it's hard to lose somebody as talented as Stephon Diggs and say that they're in a better situation. Maybe they will be. But what I will say to this is, because we don't know what their relationship is, and
it ain't great.
You know it's not good.
Look, man, let's cut the bull crap. I'm telling y'all from my shoulder. It ain't great.
Okay. You know it's not good.
I don't like to speak on personal things I don't have any access to. So all I'm basing my opinion on is the smoke that we've seen and the
his brother and Stephon and...
Look, you don't have to do it. I'm telling you, they it's not a great relationship.
Okay, so fine.
It ain't good.
I'll trust you on that. That being the case, this is a relationship that needs to be positive. Like, the number one receiver and the quarterback kind of got to be on the same page. Yeah. And especially if they are both dogs. If it's a young wide receiver, to Shady's point, he just emerged and it's Josh Allen, maybe Josh Allen can be like, look, mm-hmm. youngin, this is my team. Yeah, you may be the number one receiver, but I'm that guy. But they're both that guy. Uh-huh. So if they're both that, it's not meshing. Then maybe it's good for the Bills, maybe it's good for Stephon Diggs. It's just hard for me. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I got to see what they both look like without each other because the numbers
so different, right?
Say something else.
And we always think that it's always greener than others. We always think that, though, right? Like we think that Stephon go to Houston and ball. I think that. Mm-hmm. You get on Stephon Diggs, man, he going to eat. He going to ball. We got C.J. Stroud. Now, C.J. Stroud ain't Josh Allen, but he's nice.
Yeah.
And then you think Josh Allen is so good that, look, man, I don't know who they got over there wide receiver because they don't have a lot, but, yo, he going to ball. Yeah. We think that.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Here's my thing.
Together, they are special.
Go ahead. And I'll be quick because I remember in 2013, 2014 in Philly when we got rid of Shady and we got rid of Jack and then we didn't re-sign Macklin, Chip Kelly thought, you know what I'm saying, addition by subtraction.
And you didn't think that, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing about it, and I'll be very clear and concise with it. In the NFL, every team has about three freakazoids. Got about three. You can literally go by roster, right, and you can count up they three. Some teams, like the Niners, got 5 to 6. Some teams, like the Panthers last year, probably had one in Brian Burns. Every team got about three.
I agree.
If you lose one of your three, when you just go to battle, figurative battle, when you step on the field, you start looking and you be like, wait, they got 7 and we only got 1. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs is one of those freakazoids. Yeah. With him being gone, you just go into war without enough weapons. Like when Shady and D-Jack left, we just started going to battle without, like, we didn't have enough. It didn't matter how hard we practiced, how tough we were, how physically, mentally. We needed a freak. We needed a freakazoid, and we just lost one.
Who was the quarterback?
It was Sam Bradford after that.
Okay, exactly. So Sam Bradford's not Josh Allen. And then you're replacing two All-Pro players.
Well, hold on now. What's his name?
Which one?
DeMarco Murray. I mean, he was hell of a player. So, he was an All-Pro running back.
So we all agree that Josh Allen is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Right now, absolutely.
What type of year did C.J. Stroud have?
A great one. Yeah. For a rookie, a great one.
He made every single person around him better. We just talked in a meeting where Shady, like, who is Nico Collins? Mm-hmm. He turned this man to 1,100 yards wide receiver. He made everybody around him better, right? Throwing the football, did he have a better year than Josh Allen?
You can make the argument.
100%.
Yeah, you can make the
argument. Did he have Stephon Diggs?
No, sir.
No, so that's all I'm saying. These really good quarterbacks.
It's going to get harder, though, right?
Sometimes when you have a bona fide number one receiver,
you're
locked in.
I see what you're saying.
I'm scared for C.J. Stroud because C.J. Stroud is not a true veteran. Yep. To be honest with you, Stephon Diggs has done way more than C.J. Stroud has done in this league.
Of course.
So when Diggs comes up in that huddle and looks at him like, bruh,
he got a point.
I just don't want the development of the young quarterback to go down. They could go crazy.
Or Stephon Diggs could come in with a little chip on his shoulder. You know what I mean? Where he's
Can
hearing all these conversations.
Yeah, that's bad math, though.
Josh
bad
Allen.
Math.
Why?
Bad math.
In a good way. That he has something to prove.
On the other side of that, though, right? He could be like that. Or C.J. Stroud, like, I got him here, thank God. Because sometimes you have a better player on your team, it makes it easier.
Yeah. Shady, you brought this up, and I listened to you when you speak. You've been my dog for over a decade now. You brought this up how when you got into the league, you, Jeremy Macklin, J-Mac, D-Jack, y'all all grew up together.
Right.
Like, y'all was all young boys together. Yeah, y'all learned together. What the Texans had, which I think we took for granted last year, and the Warriors had it, they was all young boys.
Yes.
Who was Nico Collins? Who was Tank Dell? Who was C.J. Stroud? So we all just like, hey, bruh, we just all kind of learning this joint together. We all just going to figure it out together. There was no ego because nobody had anything to be cocky about.
Right.
Dalton Schultz was probably the most proven skill player on the team, and he was a tight end that the Cowboys was like, we good on you. Only reason I'm saying that is I do feel James.
Right.
When everybody's coming up together and there's no ego, we just going to figure it out. But now you bringing in a receiver who got 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Tank Dell, cool. You got lucky. Nico Collins. Yeah, that 1,200 you had last year.
That's the league, though. That's the league. What do we expect Houston to do? Sit on their hands and only ever build through the draft? They're never going to go out and make some big swings. They're not going to bring in any veterans.
But it's a fit. Because to your point, Joy, all of winning and it isn't just about the talent. It is about the locker room. I don't know Stephon Diggs at all. But there is a .25. There is a point, Joy, where it's like, do you want to bring somebody who is as publicly disruptive? I can't speak privately. I don't know Stephon Diggs privately. But who is as publicly disruptive when all you had last year? You had a rookie OC. You had a rookie head coach.
He was disruptive when first of all, I don't even like describing him as disruptive. Like,
he was, though, objectively.
They were.
He didn't go to camp.
That was happening after they were losing. But, like, during the season, that wasn't the problem.
But this is the only thing. Since Stephon Diggs has got to the Buffalo Bills, with all this stuff that we can say, he ain't a cancer, whatever it is, we've seen certain stuff to where it's like, come on, bro, right? We've seen certain stuff, him and Josh Allen getting. We've seen certain stuff off the field with him and the organization. We've seen all that. He was the most targeted player in the National Football League. So we can't throw it to you enough, and we still getting this. So that's what I'm saying. CJ is a really young player who did not have to deal with this of trying to say, I got to get the ball to him. That changes the way the quarterback plays the position.
What you think? What you think? What you think?
I have nothing else to say. This is crazy. You're acting like Stephon Cumnor is like a bad thing. Like they didn't get smoked in the playoffs with the wide receivers they had. Did that not happen?
It did.
Like, so you gonna go? You telling me with the wide receiver core they got, they just gonna go to the promised land with them dudes? And no. Now you got something that you like, I don't know if I should have. What are we talking
I'm
about?
Saying the quarterback played at a really, really high level.
Look,
what
it's going to get harder. Do you agree?
I agree.
All right. Now you're going to be on tape. Now we know everything about you. We didn't know nothing about you, right? Some college stuff. Had some good games, some good and bad, more good than bad. Hell of a year.
Yep.
It's going to get harder, though. Tank Dell, hell of a young receiver, right? It's going to get harder, and you need a dude like Stephon for y'all to act like it's just. It's like an issue that he's there. It was crazy. Every top wide receiver, every top athlete I know that's a number one, that's him, acts like that. You ain't getting enough targets. They're not going to be talking about it? What are we talking about here?
Do you think the Texans...
This is crazy.
Do you think the Texans needed Diggs?
What you think? Do they need a number one receiver? Yes or no? It's a simple question. Yes. Hell yeah. Did you see him get smoked in Baltimore? Got smoked. Did you not see that game? Yeah, so my thing is this. When I got these other young receivers, I'm not trying to hate on the receivers. They are solid receivers.
You saying, right, they're not Diggs.
They're not Diggs. All right. So now that I have that type of guy, when I'm in the huddle, I'm safe. Because I don't have to be perfect. I know if I throw him the ball, he going to make a guy miss, do this and that.
But I do live with that. Here's the thing. Hold on real quick. Because I do think what I like about doing a show with Shady is Shady often you come from your vantage point, I come from mine. Because you come from your vantage point, you never saw you. I saw you.
Okay.
I saw Jack. I saw D-Matt. I saw Fletcher Cox. There is a pressure when you are in the huddle mm-hmm. with a superstar realizing I have to cater to that superstar. You were the superstar. So you never saw it because we were all looking at you. But, so the point I'm making is I hear you wholeheartedly. I'm not even trying to vehemently disagree with you. But I do understand the left side of my table and the takes there. When there is a Diggs in the huddle, there now is a little bit more of a pressure of, I gotta feed him. You're right. There is a relief.
When we left, mm-hmm. me, Deshaun, all them dudes, who's in there though?
Riley Cooper, Miles Austin. Miles Austin, DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews.
You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. You don't think he's like, dang, I wish I had Shade, I wish I had Deshaun, wish I had Jeremy Maclin. You don't think he wanted to say that? But he can understand to the not as good player. What? Well, and the NFL is about stars.
You don't win.
Shady, you play
don't
running back though.
Without,
you a quarterback's best friend. Go ahead, Joy.
I mean, if you're nice, you quarterback
stars,
best friend in general.
Unless you're the Chiefs.
You don't think they got stars?
They still got them.
You think Travis? Hold on, wait. That's a great point.
I'm saying this year they had the most drops in the league.
Right.
But they got Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce showed up in the postseason like he always does. So unless on the side of your helmet,
but here's a question, though. But here's a question, because let's be real, and then let's do our history of it all. There are stars, but not every star comes with the same
baggage.
I don't want to use that word. Okay. But they don't all come with the same arrogance publicly. For example,
okay.
When the Rams won, Cooper Kupp, if I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong, Google it at home. Mm-hmm. I think he led the league in reception touchdowns. Yeah. I think he led the league in yards.
He led the league in catches. Yeah, one year was that.
The year they won.
Yeah.
But Cooper Kupp was never I need the ball, Stafford, what's up? Keep in mind, Stafford led the league in picks. Let's go back to when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They won it with Alshon. They won it with Torrey. They won it with Nelson Aguilar. They won it with Zach Ertz. You know that roster just as well as I do. And none of those dudes, even Alshon, because Alshon was the one at the time, none of those dudes were, I need the rock right now kind of guys.
Yeah, but we can also go down through a long list of
It's way more the other side, Joy. Where you going? Yes.
Number one receivers with big personalities.
But was Mike Evans that guy?
Attitudes. And
because but we can, but I'm talking, if we go recent history, I'm going back to 2017.
What about Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek does not read to me as a. I've never seen Tyreek.
That's why
ever.
And that's why earlier I said that. I'm glad you just said that. Every player is different. We all have different personalities, though. So Stephon might be like, man, what's up with the Rock? Dez Bryant. It's other dudes like, I can't, man, it's my boy, so I can't.
Don't do it.
It's other guys that are great for the community, great people, but they don't get the ball.
I know exactly.
But I ain't talking. I'm mad. You know I'm mad.
Yeah. Correct. All I am saying is
a young one.
Just educate me on recently when we have seen it.
Bro,
what
Travis Kelce on you? Hold on for a second, because he's a great teammate. Travis Kelce, Well, he don't get the ball. What you think? How you think he acted?
But remember when MBS and all them cats was dropping them joints and Kelsey's going on his own podcast, his own joint, yeah, talking about, hey, nah, keep going.
What's he
going
to say? What's he going to say? What
did Diggs say?
Wait, time out. Hold on for a second.
Talk to me.
I'm holding. Taylor Swift.
Yes, sir.
The man ain't looking great. He got championships. No doubt. Everybody loving. What's he going to say on his podcast? Dude drop every pass. What you think he going to say about him?
Well, I'm just saying Diggs did the opposite. That's all I'm saying. Like, Tyreek Hill, I've never seen. Tua has missed Tyreek, and I love Tua.
I mean,
time and time again.
This is what I'm saying. I don't like to generalize things, because I'm sure we can find footage of Tyreek going.
I'm sure we can find it.
I understand the personalities and all the things got to match and all that. I think that's why he's not in Buffalo anymore, because the personalities aren't matching. But all I'm saying is we don't know if it's going to work in Houston. But what we do know is it didn't work to get them to where they wanted to go, because they did get smoked. They had a really great season, but then got smoked. And the goal is to improve. We sit around and talk about, speaking of the team that smoked them, damn, when are y'all going to get Lamar Jackson some help? When are you going to upgrade that position? When are you going to bring in a number one receiver? When? Well, Houston's already doing it. That's what Stephon Diggs is. And quite frankly, like, if CJ Stroud can't work with a number one receiver, what kind of success do you think you're going to have in this league?
So I see this from both ways because
Thank you. Likewise.
I understand what Shady's saying because every receiver is different, right? You're going to get the ones that's emotional, hey, wearing it on their jersey and all that, throwing their hands up. You're going to get the other ones pouting. The only thing that I'm saying is when you're a young quarterback, you don't know how to deal with that. And you're going to try to make your superstar quarterback, superstar receiver get the ball. If you are a veteran, I played with Brett Favre, pout. Brett, shit, I might care about you pouting. That was Brett, right? I played with Aaron. Aaron, like, man, I want to get all y'all involved. We know it's too many of us to get all of us involved. But it does, the way the quarterback is wired, it does change the way you think and play the game. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I'm saying is, if CJ comes out there and you see this pouting and you see all that, because this is a dude that had the most targets in the league, he's an all-pro receiver.
He deserves it.
If you see all that pouting and you try to force him the ball, is that going to hurt the young quarterback? Because whether we like it or not, if he's not getting the ball and it's Tank Dell day or Nico Collins day,
Buddy
ain't going to be happy.
Before we go to break, because you was trying to name some teams that people don't really ask for the ball and all that. That's cool. Nowadays, though, right? Nowadays, because you went all the way to 2017. The Eagles really won from the defense, but that's cool. Here. Name me some teams that don't have a number one type of offensive weapon that's winning games.
They do. All I'm suggesting, Shady, is their number one weapon as disruptive? Like the Niners, they got a number one. Christian McCaffrey is the number one. But if Christian ain't getting fed, or if they don't go to Christian, like,
we don't know how he going to act. Let's say that, because he don't show up. We don't know how he's going to act.
Okay, even talk about, like, Ayuk. Ayuk is a number one wide receiver.
And Ayuk talked about not getting the ball.
Hold on.
You're not getting away from this.
Finally.
Ayuk said, after they lost, at their tail spanked, he said, yo, use what got you here.
Yes.
As in, you know what it is. Hold on, let's keep going.
Yep.
The Bucks. Oh, no, they didn't. No, that was 2020.
Yeah.
Who was the last one? The Chiefs. I'll just say this. Travis Kelce don't get the ball. And that's understood. And I don't got to get mad.
Even when he doesn't.
He literally yelled at me.
Correct. But I'm saying, like, Kelce has not
been making me do it. You're making me try to do it. If you go down the list of these players, bro, Cooper Kupp, some guys are just different, right? I know Cooper Kupp. He don't seem like he's never mad, right? I mean, he's a nice guy. Everybody's not like that. Yeah. And I think that he's new to stardom, right?
Yeah, very true.
He's new to stardom. If you look at his career path, right? Yep. He had to find, I'm here.
Yep. I'm here, yep.
Everybody else, even Mike Evans. Mike Evans is my best teammate I've ever had. I mean, like, a great person. Normally you buy, like, the stars and starters stuff. He bought everybody. But there's times when he didn't get the ball. Now, he don't complain all that. But you can tell that, like, hey, man, hey, I am Mike Evans. He don't say it, but it's like, yo, Joey, hey. I mean,
that's
but
not even trying to help the team.
Correct.
So, but that's the same thing, bro. You know what it is, dog. You know what it is.
Nah.
Okay, everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
You gotta have a number one offensive weapon, and you gotta get in the right. And if you don't, they're not gonna be happy.
That's facts.
I can't take my stories.
I'm not saying this is a bad move. I'm just saying I want to see how it looks with the young
people. I like this conversation, man.
We acting like you getting a quarterback always wants a number one receiver. You acting like see that Stroud when he woke up today. I'm sure he probably had his best workout.
Okay.
He probably had his best morning, his best coffee. Okay. Get a coffee, agent.
I'm glad you say that because every quarterback want a number one receiver. We talked about Josh Allen knew this was coming, right? What you think he said?
I guarantee you this. We always talk about how the Bills are. Is
there, he said keep it.
Is the window open? We always ask, is the window open and all that? Now what are we saying about the Bills?
Did he say keep it? Answer the question.
Well, I don't know what he said.
What you think he said.
I guarantee you this. This is what I do know. This is what I do know from my sources, from being up in Buffalo. He tried his best to do everything he could to try to make that thing happen, to keep him. Hey, I will say that.
Shady. Hey, Josh. We're about to trade Stephon Diggs for a second-round pick. What do you think about that, Josh? What do you think he said, Shady?
Even if he said...
Okay.
Sure, his follow-up was, what are we going to do if we do it?
And we talk about these now. When we always ask about these Bills, every year...
Y'all know what I say.
Every year they've had either Josh won MVP or to win a Super Bowl. Almost the last 3 years, the Vegas didn't pick them to win and all that. We always ask on the show, is the Bills window closing?
Y'all know.
I guarantee we won't even have that conversation no more.
What you think?
Because we already know what it is.
Shady,
we already know what it is.
He said when they
you can't win without no top offensive weapons. It is what it is. We're going to find out.
We will see. We will see. Did you like the conversation now,
Shady? Nah, man. It's like you're hating on the stars.
Dang it. Hello. Family, when we return, do you trust Jim Harbaugh to turn the Chargers around? They started their season yesterday, well, their offseason workouts. So do you trust the man? That's next on Speak. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel. Sirius XM. Yeah, used to be. All right, family, the Chargers made a splash by hiring Jim Harbaugh as their head coach. He officially met the team yesterday during the start of their offseason program. And it's clear Harbaugh is already fired up, saying, quote, it's like the start of a new year, close quote. Now, I am confused, Joy, and I am perplexed. I'm now torn about this whole Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers thing because the moves that he's making are just kind of contradictory to the roster that they have to me. If you really think about it, when Harbaugh was at Stanford, he had a running back who's the all-time leading rusher at Stanford. Then he's at Michigan. He had a running back who's the all-time leading rusher at Michigan as it pertains to touchdowns. Then he was in San Fran. He has a running back who's third in the history of the National Football League in rushing yards. Frank Gore, Blake Corum, Toby Gerhart. Harbaugh builds his team from tight ends to the running backs. Always. Don't matter who's a quarterback. He had Andrew Luck, still running backs. He had J.J. McCarthy supposed to go in the first round, still running back. Now you have Justin Herbert. But you are a running back, two tight end dominant head coach. So I don't know if I trust it to turn around in year one because it's just starting to look like a weird pairing, especially when you hire Greg Roman, who is a run-centric OC, but you have a pass-centric QB. Mm. So, Joy, what do you make of it? Do you trust Harbaugh to turn it around in year one?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to be better significantly than they were last year. They were 5-8 with Herbert last year. I know he did get hurt. And they ended up 5-12, but they were 5-8 with Herbert. We had a lot of conversations about what was going on with Justin Herbert last year. I think that he's gonna course correct. I don't know that I can say they're going to win a playoff game. I mean, you look at the teams that missed the playoffs last year in the AFC. AFC is gonna be tough. Mm-hmm. Last year, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, Houston, Cleveland, Miami, Pittsburgh. I mean, did any of those teams really get worse? Pittsburgh, I think, got better. Miami, you know, we'll see where they're at. They're going to be hovering around there. Cleveland's going to get their quarterback back. We know we just talked about how Houston has just improved. And the top three, maybe Buffalo, but then you got Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Indy. So I don't know. I don't know that they're going to necessarily be in the playoffs, and that should be the bar for what we consider to be a successful season for them. If they win 3 to 4 more games, is that a turnaround? To me, it is, especially when you're talking about dealing with a young quarterback who probably has some confidence issues at this point. They're putting together a new roster, and this is somebody that we got to give a little grace to because he's that good in Harbaugh. So I can't jump because it's the AFC to say that they're going to be winning. I expect them to go win a playoff game year one. It's a tough conference. There's a lot going on. But I do expect them to win significantly more games.
I don't. I mean, I love Harbaugh. I do, man.
You think
I mean,
they're gonna have the same record?
I'm not saying they're going to win 5 games. They will win more than 5 games. But what I'm saying is I think a turnaround is getting to the playoffs, right? Like, you got to get into the tournament to have a turnaround. And I don't see that happening. Number one, with Harbaugh, I truly believe this is the worst team he's ever been a part of. He came into the San Francisco 49ers when they won all them playoff games and went in his first year. We talk about Delanie Walker all the time, the tight end Delanie Walker. We talk about Vernon Davis. We talk about Frank Gore. We talk about Crabtree. Like, he had guys on the offensive side of the ball. Then let's go to the defense. You're talking about Ray McDonald. You're talking about Justin Smith. You're talking about Ahmad Brooks. You're talking about Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith,
T-Boogie.
Carlos Rogers, Deshaun Golston, Whitner. Like, he had a team. He had a team that was really good, and he put those dudes in position to ball. That's what a really good coach does. Yeah. I don't know if he has the right people to put in position to turn this thing around year one. Do I believe he's going to get this thing turned around as he as years go on as the coach of the Chargers? Absolutely. But year one, a turnaround, I just don't think he has the roster to compete with these teams, like you just said, in the AFC to get into the tournament.
I do.
I'm going to disagree with you, James.
I'm 40. You said you weren't going to argue with me, man.
I didn't argue. I said, I don't argue with my man. He's 40 years old. This is the reason why is because, let's take you back. You talked about the whole 49ers group, right? Okay, before he got there, that same roster, that same team, all them players, they were 6-10.
It was garbage.
10 is, yeah.
But then the next year, he took them to 13-3. So yeah, it's possible. When I look at the, Chargers, right? It's the same thing for real. They had a roster, though, too, though. Now, some of them names are really, really good for the Niners. But if you look at the Chargers, they got a lot of good players on defense, right? That's what you're talking about. So I feel like it always said this, and everybody would say this. The Chargers roster, when you look at them, you're like, yo, they should be better than this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now they got a coach, though, right? You got a coach with a really good defense and then on offense. They might not have the same star power, but when I look at the Niners, they had Kaepernick. He took Kaepernick
Alex
to the
– Smith.
Yeah, Alex Smith, year one.
Oh, he's a lot better. I'm just saying, they took them type of quarterbacks, Alex Smith and Kaepernick, who is just, they both is okay, to the Super Bowl. Really strong running game, which he's trying to build now. So I feel like the same philosophy and recipe that he did with the 49ers, he's doing with the Chargers. And I think the rosters are kind of identical a little bit.
Only
so
question, Shady, for me is, to me, it's a little oil and water. Like, when Chip got to Philly, it made perfect sense. Chip needed a mobile quarterback. He needed a spread game. He needed a running gun. Chip showed up. You had Mike Vitt.
What?
You had LeSean McCoy. You had DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Mack. It just made sense. Yeah. But Harbaugh wants two tight ends. When he was in San Fran, he had the running back. He always wants a running back. He had a tight end in Vernon. So all you had to do was get Delaney eventually. So it just made
Delaney.
This to me, it just doesn't fit yet, but I am.
Until you see it.
Until we see it.
Until we see him with the Niners. Like, man, the Niners is terrible, right? And, they are good. So we just got to wait to see.
No doubt about it. Well, what we saw today was the breaking news of Stephon Diggs being traded. You know what happened. We will tell you how it happened. Bringing in NFL insider Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, one of the smartest men in all of insiding NFL news. And he will tell you exactly the details behind that and the other big deals that occurred this offseason. That's next on Speak More. Welcome back to Speak Family. One of my favorite parts of any show we ever do is when NFL insider Jordan Schultz is here. We always know what happened. Social media can tell you that. But this brilliant man to my left, he can tell you how it happened and why it happened. So Stephon Diggs, a huge blockbuster trade that occurred today. We will get to that momentarily. But first, Saquon Barkley, one of the biggest moves this offseason. What were your three smartest moves? How'd they happen? Give me the details.
I'm going to start with Saquon. I thought that was an unbelievable move for Philly. First of all, it's the only time in Saquon's career that he's had a big-time offensive line.
Yeah.
So he goes to Philly, a team he kind of grew up rooting for, went to Penn State. This decision was made about a week prior. He considered offers from Green Bay. There were other opportunities. We talked about it when it went down. New York Giants, they never made a counter offer to Saquon. They made it abundantly clear to him, Macho, we don't need you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Saquon goes to the Eagles, and now he lines up in the same backfield as Jalen Hurts. That's downright scary. A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, they have weaponry, and for the first time in Saquon's career, again, he has probably one of the best offensive lines in football.
So that's a brilliant move, number one. Well, it's your third smartest move. A lot of great moves this offseason. Russell Wilson, he was on the move. Kirk Cousins, he was on the move. What's the second smartest move this offseason?
I'm going to go Hollywood Brown. A little shake-up here.
Okay.
Now, former first-round pick, 26 years old. He might not be a Pro Bowler, but Acho, this guy is going to infuse some jets into the Chiefs offense. Patrick Mahomes loves speed. Brett Veach, what a job he's done. Shady was talking before the break. It wasn't so super smooth for the Chiefs last year, yeah, but they figured it out down the stretch. What do they need now? They bring in Hollywood Brown. This is a legitimate 4-3 guy who can get down the field, has wiggle. Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce. I think this is the perfect move for the Chiefs. And I'm telling you, a scout told me this. Hollywood Brown in this offense is a bona fide 1,100-yard guy, 7 or 8 touchdowns, and he's going to get paid big time in a year. Only $6.5 million guaranteed, up to 11. They got him at a bargain.
Okay, well, speaking of getting a big-time guy, the news of the day is Stephon Diggs. Is that one of your best moves? What's your best move?
So they gave up a lot. But they get Stephon Diggs. He's been to 4 straight Pro Bowls, America. Sheesh. Not only that, Stephon Diggs, perennial all-pro caliber guy.
Tell him, Jordan. Tell him, man.
Now, I know he had a little bit down the stretch. He struggled. But he is going to go to this offense and infuse an entirely new life. C.J. Stroud, okay? What's the best thing for a young quarterback? A dominant wide receiver. Now, they have Tank Dell. They have Nico Collins. They bring in Joe Mixon, who they extended. Now they have Stephon Diggs, a true number one. Now, I was told at the combine, Houston and Buffalo were talking. Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, knew he was going to deal Diggs. I thought it might take a little more time because the Bills wanted a second rounder this year. They end up settling to get one next year. But nonetheless, they get a big haul in return. And now Houston has a true number one for C.J. Stroud.
Did the Texans give up too much? Remember, Randy Moss, America, at 30 years old, got traded for a 4th-round pick. Stephon Diggs, as great as he is, he's no Randy Moss. He got a 2nd-round pick. Did the Texans give up too much?
They probably gave up a little bit too much. Honestly, they probably did. But that's sometimes the price you have to pay to get that type of player. Did Tennessee overpay for Calvin Ridley, $23 million? If you want a true number one, Diggs is that, you're going to have to overpay. Now, Buffalo had the leverage. They had the player. It's probably going to hurt Josh Allen. They're going to have to figure that out. They got back a number two. That's a lot to give up. I would pose the question to you. If Diggs is worth a 2, what's T. Higgins worth? Because Higgins is 24 years old,
yeah,
and Cincinnati would love a 2. I don't know if they can get a 2.
That's fascinating. So, have all the dominoes fallen in the National Football League? Or what is the last great domino that the viewer at home needs to keep their mind on? Because I forgot about T. Higgins until you just said
T. Higgins, but the difference is Cincinnati is not necessarily out of the T. Higgins business like Buffalo was. He's still a really young, ascending player. I'm not convinced that Cincinnati is going to say, we have to trade him. One move I'll give you that hasn't happened yet. How about Zeke Elliott back to Big D? I'm telling you, I believe there's a real...
Yeah, bring him. Philly, we need that. Bring him on. Bring him on, baby.
Zeke Elliott back to Dallas makes a lot of sense. Dallas needs another running back. Zeke has entertained a couple other offers elsewhere. That would be a move to watch in the next week or two.
I love that. Well said. As always, you crushed it. Jordan Schultz, you are the man. When we return, Stephon Diggs going to the Texans, but does it make the Texans worse? Somebody at the desk might think so. That's next on Speak.
Don't it just sound crazy just saying it?
Okay, the huge news of the NFL day was a Stephon Diggs trade. Did not know we were going to be on camera, but here we are. After 4 seasons in Buffalo, Stephon Diggs going to the Texans for Pro Bowl field season, a 1,500-yard season, a couple 1,200-yard seasons, an 1,100-yard season. But James Jones, you said something fascinating that I don't think anybody at home has yet heard. You said that this might not help the Texans. Elaborate on that.
Please elaborate.
I played the receiver position.
You did at a high level.
Yep, at a high
level. At a high level.
I had a lot of good players around me.
You did.
Thank God we didn't have no people that was, you know, sensitive or divas and all that.
You was lucky. You were lucky.
Very, very lucky.
You're lucky.
When you are a young quarterback and you get a big time bona fide number one wide receiver, you know what you tend to do? Lock in on that dude, right? When you do that, you end up throwing interceptions because you're not reading the defense. You end up forcing passes because you're trying to make him happy to get his targets, to get his touches. As an offensive coordinator, as you should, when you have a bona fide number one wide receiver, how can I get him the football? Not, we're out here trying to make plays together. I'm a call to play, go through your reads, make the right read. And we seen the young fella last year in C.J. Stroud do that and have a phenomenal rookie season, right? Looking like he's going to take the next step. My only fear is when you bring in a guy like this with a lot of emotions that he wears on his sleeve, is he's not getting his touches. What is this going to do to the young quarterback? What is it going to do to his mindset, his mentals, as he calls the plays? Is he going to be thinking like, man, I ain't got Stephon Diggs involved yet. Let me get him the ball over here, even if he's double covered. Because we've seen a better quarterback in Josh Allen do that to Stephon Diggs, trying to make him happy. So I'm not necessarily super high on this move. I don't know how it's going to play out. Is Stephon Diggs a superstar receiver? Absolutely. But I don't know what kind of impact it's going to have on C.J. Stroud, and that's what I'm worried about.
Am I next?
Go ahead.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Do teams want to have number one receivers or they don't? I'm just trying to figure this part out before I even go.
They do. Of course.
They do, right? So when I look at the Texans, I hear what you're saying. Young quarterback had a really good year, but it's going to get harder, James. And guess what? In that room he has, the wide receiver room, it wasn't enough. That's why they got smoked by the Ravens. That's why they got killed like that, right? So there's sometimes where, as a quarterback, right, and you had a good group of guys, right?
Really good.
Most teams don't have a lot of good wide receivers like that. That's for one. He didn't want to talk about that, but that's a good thing.
No doubt.
But when I look at these other teams, they want to have number one receivers. That's why they get paid so much. For example, right, you talk about the Texans. How far are you going to go with that wide receiver room? This is the way it is without Stephon Diggs. How far are you going to go with that?
Who knows?
You probably aren't winning it all.
Far.
You probably aren't winning it all.
You're not. You win it all like that. And then you look at a guy like a C.J. Stroud who's getting better. In his second year, he's going to be better. We always get better in our second year. But it also gets harder. And them dudes in the wide receiver room, they didn't get a lot of attention last year. They're going to get a lot of attention this year. So, right? Now, as a quarterback, knowing that I have a wide receiver like Stephon Diggs who's that good, who's that nice, who's always productive, yeah. I can count on him.
So can
There's
I,
some games we can't count on them
can
other
I
dudes.
Can I ask you a question?
What's the question?
Can I ask you a question?
It's a question,
so,
James.
So why do these number one receivers get traded then? Why? No, hold on. Because we're saying that every quarterback needs a bona fide number one receiver. So why are these teams trading him? Why did T.O. get traded? Why did Odell Beckham get traded from New York? He was killing. Why are these bona fide number one wide receivers getting traded if every quarterback needs them to truly have success like that?
Well, first of all, right, because you know this, in this game of football, it's a lot of arrogance, right?
Yes,
a lot of dudes, it's a lot of coaches that can't play the game, but they want that control. It's the same reason why dudes like Carson Wentz keeps getting a job. Because seriously, though, dudes, I've been bad on all these other teams, but my first-round draft pick, he was bad with y'all. He's going to be good with me. I can win without Stephon. I don't need him. I can win without T.O. I don't need him. It happens all the time. I'm going to get somebody better than him. It happens all the time. So you ask me that, like, it happens all the time that coaches be winning without certain players, but they need them because they can't go to the promised land. Now, name me, since you asked me a question, let me ask you a question before I'm done. Now, name me some teams that's winning Super Bowls without a number one receiver or number one offensive weapon, because it ought to be a number one receiver. This is a number one weapon. You name me some.
Well, first off, every team is going to label somebody as the number one weapon. Nico Collins, whether you like him
or not. He's not number one weapon.
He was the number one weapon on their team.
He's not.
Whether you think he's the number one weapon or not.
Do you think he's the number one weapon, James Jones?
On their team, he was. So if you asking me.
Okay, bro, you know what I'm saying. You know a real number one weapon.
Is he like a top 10 receiver?
No.
Every team, if you're going to be good offensively, you're going to need a good number one offensive weapon. Can we just say it like that? Is that cool for you? Can we say it like that?
You don't need a good
Sir?
Number one offensive
All right.
weapon.
So name me some teams that won championships, right?
Well, Acho said the Eagles is out there, the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill and all that.
Whoa. That's false. Travis Kelce's the number one offensive weapon. See, nothing's going to be 100%. Nothing's going to be 100%. Nothing in life is 100%. No. All I'm saying is this, and I'm going to let Joey go. All the top offensive productive teams, they need an offensive weapon, bro. You know this.
Joey, Texans, better, worse, what do you think? Obviously, it's a different question, but James Jones kind of James just kind of let us there. James, just, I mean, I can't so ask where are the Texans in the AFC South? I can ask you that as well.
Stephon Diggs, like
where do you think? Because we will get there. So where do you think Stephon Diggs puts the Texans in the AFC?
I think he makes the Texans better.
Okay.
Am I ready to put them automatically above the Ravens? I don't know. I think if they're maybe closer to the Ravens now because of this move. Obviously, the Chiefs are one, so we don't even need to talk about them. I wonder, though, not to derail everything, but, like, if Stephon Diggs had, like, less of a history, like, if we weren't talking about this breakup for a while, like, it just came up at the end of this year and they decided to part ways, would we feel this way about, or would you feel this way about,
Not working with but CJ he would still be in Buffalo.
No.
But let's say he wasn't.
Yeah.
Let's say it was like a shorter level of disruption.
Yeah.
If because, Cooper Kupp got traded to the Texans, I wouldn't be feeling this.
But type I just don't think Cooper Kupp is comparable.
If
to
If Devontae Adams like, got traded there, I wouldn't be feeling this.
Okay, so this is about.
No.
So this is all about personality then.
For me, it is.
So I guess if I'm a GM or if I'm a coach or if I'm CJ Stroud, I'm just going to have to deal with that. Because some things are worth dealing with. And you can't sit around and run it back with the exact same roster. We will kill you for not giving C.J. Stroud options.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
At all.
What?
They went and got Joe Mixon.
No, I'm talking about especially at this position. Like, you have a young quarterback. You want to give him a bona fide star. And that's not dismissing what they did this year, because I think it's tremendous what that team and that roster did. Even if we didn't know that they were stars, CJ made them stars and they stepped up this year. And that's commendable.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I am not going to dismiss what Stephon Diggs has done in this league.
Right. Of course not.
And I think, and maybe I will be wrong, but I think that especially considering that this has happened now, that he is no longer in Buffalo, perhaps he will approach the situation slightly different than when things were falling apart with Josh Allen in Buffalo. I get what James is saying, that there will be a bit more of an anxiety to get it to Stephon Diggs, because when you have a dog like that on the field, you want to try and get them the ball. And usually that's a good thing, because they catch the ball and then they make plays, which is why they're there and why they're making the money and why we have their name on the bottom third. So I guess my hope is, and certainly Houston's hope is that they're getting high-level production and a great player.
High-level
production.
And if
they have to find a way to make the personalities click, if they have to find a way to get him his targets and move the ball around in an offense that is reasonable, then I think that will work. And at the end of the day, if they're winning and he is also getting his production, then it'll be fine.
I mean, let me go to break and rehit, because I haven't chimed in on that. Let me rehit this when we get back from commercial break. A lot more to weigh in on. Stephon, it's a blockbuster trade. The top five receiver on the move, family, you do not see that often. But does it actually make the Texans better? Let me weigh in. Let's talk. That's on the other side of this commercial break.
Come on, you know what I'm about to do?
I got you. Huge news of the day. Stephon Diggs, a top five receiver. He is on the move to the Texans after four star-studded seasons in Buffalo. Shady, here's my thought process. It's not that teams can't win or teams want to win without stars. To me, stars matter. The personality of your stars matter. I remember Dak Prescott his rookie year with Dez. Dez gave Dak Prescott hell, at least publicly, kind of. That was the undertones of it all. Cowboys got rid of Dez. They needed a receiver. They went back and got Amari Cooper. Dez a number one, Amari a number one. But their number ones are different. Yes. Dak had success with Amari. Dak had success with Dez. But the success with Amari was different. There was not the same level of tension nor contention. Now, you could say Amari ain't half the player Dez Bryant was. I hear you on that. My point is, I'm not arguing that the Texans don't need a number one, but I am not going to sleep on the 1,200 yards Nico Collins had, because I wasn't that good, so 1,200 yards is doing something. So I'm not going to sleep on that. I'm not saying Texans don't need a number one. But what kind of number one are you getting? That's what I'm getting to.
Okay, so if you had to just disagree, right? A, B, C, whatever. The Texans wide receiver core, who would you grade it?
Right now with Stephon Diggs?
Without Stephon.
B. B, yeah.
Mm. Okay, B. All right, it's not bad. You need more than that. Yeah. You need more than B, right? That's why they got smoked like that. That's why the Ravens can't get over the hump. They need more weapons. That's the truth. Yeah, they need a number one dude and go out there and get it. That's what they really need. That's what they need. So let's go to all the superstars, right? Because I was sitting here thinking, like, in my mind, what are they?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking, like, how can a young team doing well, right? Young coach, young quarterback doing well, how can they get better? And y'all telling me that getting a guy like Stephon Diggs don't make them better sounds crazy to me. So I looked at all the top offensive teams. I look at all the top quarterbacks, right, top personnel. So the Chiefs. Right, they had the worst wide receiver core in the league, but they had a number one option in Travis Kelce.
Yes, sir.
That made the difference. Okay, if Travis is not there, I don't know what the Chiefs would be then. Because you can imagine, right? The Cheetah and Tua. We all know what Tua looked like without Tyreek Hill.
True.
You need that part. When he came in, you see the difference. We were talking about if Tua even going to be a quarterback in this league for more than 4 years. Then you get Tua, and then you get Tyreek Hill. You see what happens. Burrow and Chase. I've always seen Burrow with really good quarterbacks or good receivers since college.
Mm-hmm.
And the pros, I don't know what he looks like without Chase and his other guys. So I'm not even going down the list. Jalen Hurts is my quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know what he would look like without A.J. Brown. Can you guys even imagine that? I don't know. I don't want to imagine it. All I'm saying is this. For you to tell me that getting a guy like Stephon Diggs, a top three or top five dude, however you want to look at it, going to a young quarterback who shows some success with a average wide receiver room to make him better, so when times get hard and the defense is playing good, I know I can go to this dude. But Collins and Tank Dell, yeah, they are good, but they come
well,
on.
First off, I didn't say it wasn't going to make them better.
This is crazy.
First thing I said was, I don't know how it's going to look. And I'm worried about how it's going to look. Because all them dudes that you just said right now are still at their home teams because they ain't acted like Stephon Diggs. This dude is This dude is the most targeted receiver since Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. And we see this dude complaining. And it's not like the Buffalo Bills ain't winning no games. They in the playoffs every year. And we still got you throwing your hands up. We still got these antics and all that off the field. All I'm saying, for a young guy, Josh Allen got used to dealing with it. He knew how to deal it. For a young guy as a receiver, sometimes that can hurt him. I'm not saying that this dude is not a big-time receiver. He is. But I'm just saying the personality that you are bringing to an offense that just had a lot of success by spinning the ball around to everybody, a quarterback who was not locked into everybody, they had a really good year. You bring in a dude like this, sometimes it can mess up your quarterback.
There's a ceiling on the guys you're talking about he played with. Is a ceiling for them guys. You can't go past that. That's why they got smoked in the playoffs. It's a true story, right? And then another thing is, you talking about one side of it, though, right? Like, if he snaps, what if he don't? What if he don't come in here acting like that?
I can't believe that, though.
What?
I'm going to sit here and believe that with what he showed us. And Buffalo been in the playoffs. I say this, Joe.
And Josh Allen, when he got Stephon Diggs, bro, he's 53-22. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 29 points a game and 270 yards passing. Without Diggs, he's 15-14. He's averaging 19 points, and he's averaging 190 yards through the air. You tell me if he likes him or not.
Over the last 10 games,
my man
balling. That's why Diggs.
Joy, you're going to say something.
What would we like Houston to do?
Great question.
Draft.
Yeah.
That's what I would like them to do.
Just keep hoping and drafting?
Ain't no hoping and drafting. Get a big-time receiver in the draft and still know when you walk into this huddle that the quarterback, the young quarterback, is the leader. He ain't looking to the side. He ain't looking to nothing else. He ain't listening to what none of these receivers got to say. I'm the leader. This is how it's going to go. I would love to see him draft.
Let's say they drafted a number one receiver, right? Because the draft is a complete unknown.
Complete unknown.
Complete unknown. Stephon Diggs is a mostly known, right? Like, not complete known, but, like, mostly known.
I know the brother.
So they draft an unknown, and he doesn't turn out to be a number one receiver. Is that a worse scenario than taking a risk on Stephon Diggs and he asks for the ball a lot? Because to me, that is not even a remotely comparable risk.
If it hurts your young quarterback.
To me, I love this.
Your organization more, though? Not trying, not sending the message that you're trying to upgrade the roster.
But
not
they are, though. If they were making, like,
I'm
who do I like
there
this?
Is no guarantee whatsoever that you are going to get a number one but wide Joy, receiver that, the, as a rookie, yeah, is going to play as a number one option in your offense.
This is the only thing that I will say to that is the Buffalo Bills have nobody on the receiver roster.
They let him go.
And you let him go.
They let him go.
Why? And you just read off the numbers of how your quarterback is having all the
success.
It means
something. It means something.
It gotta mean
like
something.
When you see somebody and they break up and you're like, why you break up with them? Like, clearly it means, it don't mean everything.
No,
everything. It don't mean everything.
So GMs and coaches don't do dumb stuff?
They do.
All right. So that's one of the dumb things they did. Chip Kelly traded me. You think that was dumb or that was smart? Let's keep it real, though. We left. You see what it looked like. Come on.
Correct. But where I
there's a lot of things like that that happen. There's dumb coaches that do dumb stuff.
Where I would push back, and I don't like pushing back because you literally my brother on and off the field, is the Eagles did win a Super Bowl 3 years later.
How did they win it, though?
You weren't there, and Jack wasn't there, and Mac wasn't there.
And he wasn't there either.
He wasn't.
All right. Whoa. You can't talk about another coach. How you doing that?
I'm talking about a culture, because that's what they would have tried to bring up.
Oh, my God.
Chip Kelly had a pretty obvious culture he was trying to establish there.
And it didn't work.
Correct. So I'm not going to put Doug Peterson in the same conversation
but
as Chip Kelly as a coach.
Thank you.
Culture.
Here's what I would
say.
The brick and mortar might be the same, but the heart and soul in that building was not the same from Chip Kelly to Doug
Peterson. Correct. Right. But what I'm saying
is Super Bowl defense.
Can I please speak? Can I speak?
Shady.
Because let me just speak for a moment. Because I was there. I was there beforehand. I was there after. I was there when Shady was there. I was there when Shady was gone. I was not on the Super Bowl team, but 80% of the roster was the same. When that team won, there wasn't like a guy. There wasn't like a bona fide dog.
On offense.
Okay. Nelson Aguilar was the third wide receiver. He was really the second. Torrey Smith was the second or the third wide receiver. Alshon Jeffrey was the first. Zach Ertz. Darren Sproles was a running back with number 30, Corey Clement. Sproles even got hurt. Like, and Blunt was back there. So what I am saying is, if you were to look at that team offensively, that's just one of the teams I know best, they didn't have a bona fide dude. Defensively,
there you go.
You had Malcolm Jenkins. You had the dude with the green hair. You had Jalen Mills. You had Fletch. You had Derek Barnett.
Defense was crazy. That's how they went through defense, because I remember that since you brought it, I remember that whole situation. There was when they beat the Falcons like 19 to 14. They were winning games by nothing. Then they got to the Super Bowl. Hold on, check it out.
That's not accurate.
You could check. Okay, well, check it out.
That's not accurate.
Check it out. If you watch, since he brought it up, if you watch when they won that run, they won through defense. They got to the championship game. And they went through offense. That's the truth. And then how they closed the game out, they did the Philly special, and then the defense sacked Brady to win the game.
When we won the Super Bowl, we didn't go through our defense. We went through our offense with a bunch of second and third round receivers.
I was 12 years old then. That don't count. It's a new day and age.
I hear you on all this, but for every example of like a really well-constructed non-egotistical roster.
There you go.
You got example after example after example after example of rosters that aren't that. And when we're talking about even the Bucks, all right, because we're just going to gloss over the fact that they brought in Antonio Brown.
Correct, but midway through the season, though.
Man, we need an AB.
But here,
we don't want an AB.
No, what I'm saying is, because Sadoy brings up a great point, but when I think about the Super Bowls in the last 10 to 12 years, I can't think about the polarizing number one. We can do it next, over the break. But over the last 10 to 12, you can go from the Seahawks when they had Marshawn Lynch and their number one was Doug Baldwin. And you can go to the Patriots when there was Gronk. And then you can go 2015 with the Broncos, RIP DT. You can go to 2016 with the Patriots again, Julian Edelman and Gronk. 17 Eagles, 18 Patriots, 19. Now we get to where you started winning yours.
Why are we talking about Diggs like he's like this awful character that is just like breaking up locker rooms and like treating people badly, and he's like a menace off the field. Like,
I'm not saying that. But James made a point. You've acknowledged it. If you have seven straight 1,000-yard seasons, why are you leaving?
Let me ask you this.
Seven straight?
With no receivers on the roster.
If the Bills couldn't make it work with Stephon Diggs, sometimes these things happen, right? Breakups happen all the time. Tom Brady left the Patriots after almost 20 years and went to another team.
Right.
These things happen. Aaron Rodgers is in New York, all right? These things happen. And maybe they seemed like good ideas at the time. It didn't seem like the end of the road for the Patriots. All I'm saying is, are the Texans closer to the Super Bowl today or yesterday?
I think they're closer today than they were yesterday. And all people you named, they had a big-time offensive weapon. Everybody you just named.
Just not with big-time attitude. That's all I'm saying.
But you don't know the attitude. That's what I'm saying. We don't know the attitude. We don't know that.
I think we're getting very liberal with the painting of Stephon Diggs' character here.
I'm just saying what I see. I'm not trying to get in trouble on Twitter again. No. Maybe I should go to Cooper Kupp. When we return, the Bucks, they wish they had a do-over after last night's loss. Doc Rivers head coach calling out the professionalism? Huh?
Yeah, it's time to go, too.
You got a lot to say about that.
Thank you, too.
The Bucks, they took an L to one of the worst teams in the league, but they do have Jordan Poyer. Took an L to one of the worst teams in the league last night. They were without Dame Lillard in their loss on the road. Jordan Poole, not to be confused with Poyer. To the Wizards, after the game, Doc Rivers, head coach, called out his team. Y'all have to take a listen to this.
You know, it's funny. I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. And I've made a lot of notes. I will say that. I won't share that. But we don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road.
I don't like to talk.
Sadie?
What? Oh, it's my girl.
You got an issue with Doc Rivers calling out the professionalism?
All he do is make excuses up for what he don't do.
Mm.
I don't ever say it's his fault. It's
That's
always
well
Aaron Rodgers' fault.
Mm.
Let's look at his track record, right? So he gets a championship with Boston, right? We all love him for that. But even with them dudes, you ain't won one championship. Them dudes is great.
Great.
What a great team you had. All he does is get great teams. Let's think about it. So Boston only won one championship with them. Then you go to the Clippers. I mean, God. all talent. They don't win nothing.
Nothing.
Then you go to my Sixers, though, right? Mm-hmm. This is when James Harden was kind of still playing good and all that. And then you had Embiid, the MVP. What do y'all do? Lose. Then you come to a winning franchise like the Bucks. Before he left or before he got the job, what were they like?
Number one seed, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, they were the number one seed. Come on. They were 30-13.
30-13. Now they're 15 and like
15-14.
So it's like all he do is lose and they make excuses. That's I made hard. Some notes. We made notes too.
Yes, we
and
did.
The notes that we found out and came up with is that all you do is go to great teams with great talent and lose, and then you make excuses. I'm tired of him. Mm. I'm tired of him, man, because that's all he do, boy. And I talked to a lot of his players, and the only thing they say good about him is he understands the players. That lets me know, okay, he lets you do what you want. That's what that means. Yeah. Time for him to go, man.
Joy Taylor.
It's very weird. There are certain things that coaches call out, like publicly call their teams out for that I don't really love it, but it makes sense. Like effort. Okay, we can all see watching the game. Y'all not rebounding. Y'all not hustling after loose balls. Y'all missing free throws. You missing LSU. Easy shots. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not playing fundamental basketball. Okay, you could call a team out for that because we as fans, we as media can see that. We don't know what they acting like on the road. Even if this is true, why would you bring this to anyone's attention? Why is this the call that's going to get... You know what? Doc's right.
Yeah.
We need to be in bed earlier. Like, why is this... This is something that teams go to great lengths to cover up, like, to keep quiet if this is really actually true. Why would you just say... Why would you offer up this information? We all know how they act when they're on the road. It's so weird to me. So I just don't... What's the value of this? They are... Not good on the road. 7-11 on the road under Doc. They're significantly worse as a record under Doc. Why is this something that you would add to it? Because there's no way that we could see that this is a problem.
Yeah, so, it's a lot of excuses coming from Doc Rivers. When they had a 1-4 start, Doc Rivers came up there and he said all this stuff. This is his excuses right here. These are the excuses he had right here, right? Fatigue, injuries, time zone changes, schedule, attitude, all that. One thing I do know, a great coach is supposed to get you ready to play on the road. Mm. Anybody can play at home. That's the right. Crowd behind you, shady jerseys everywhere. Everybody in the stands, they playing your music. Like, you sleeping in your own bed, you ready to go at home. You know if you get down, you start losing. Here go the crowd yelling to pick you up. Coaches are supposed to be the guys to get you motivated on the road, whatever it may be, in team meetings, during the games, in timeouts. That is your job. It ain't got nothing to do with they ain't got the right food on the plane and people doing it. It don't have nothing to do with that. It is your job to get the boys ready to go. I remember playing with Coach Mike after, and you guys probably did it too. If you won the game, they put together a highlight tape.
Oh, yeah.
That team meeting to watch yourself. Look, we won. When you lose, it ain't no highlight tape. We were going through a slump where we was getting slapped, like 5-game losing streak. And Coach Mike, we came into the team meeting, and he showed us a highlight tape. Like, this what y'all are. Like, this what y'all... But just little stuff like that. We on the road. Motivate people. It is your job. You do not have the crowd behind you. Doc, what you doing instead of making excuses and blaming it on everybody else? Because it's turning into losses.
And they actually give him a paycheck for this job he's doing.
A big one.
Isn't that crazy?
Speaking of losses, the Bills, they lost superstar receiver Stephon Diggs, and GM Brandon Bean literally just spoke out about it. Pretty shocking.
What he say?
We'll hear after the commercial break. Stephon Diggs got traded, and the Bills GM, he quoted saying, "Are we better today? Probably not." Am I reading this right, Shady? "It's a work in progress, and we're going to continue to work that. I would hope that people know I'm competitive as hell, and we're going to work through this. I'm confident in the guys we have on the roster."
Now, Joy, these two dudes sat here and act like, well, I mean, well, what you think the GM going to do? You think they would just trade if he had on yards? How dumb did that sound? "Are we better today after trading our best receiver? Probably not, but I want you people out there to know. I'm competitive as hell." What does that even mean?
So why they trading then, Shady?
I just told you eight times.
I told you.
GMs and coaches, they do dumb stuff. And that statement, if you're a Buffalo Bill fan, you want to hear this statement?
Mm.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, the type of dude you are matters, though. That's what this statement says.
Do you know him? Cool. He told me Calvin Benjamin's a hell of a player, too.
The GM did.
That's what he told me.
The GM.
We traded Sammy, and he told me that.
Did the GM trade for you?
You
no,
did.
No, he wasn't there. He's no, the other dude did. Oh, credit for me.
Hey, that's it for us. Race Up is next.
Give me this.